Everyone, welcome our new sponsor, Diet Smoke.
Diet Smoke is the premier source for legal THC and mushroom products.
The team at Diet Smoke sent us gummies to enjoy while we whore and chill. My favorite are the grape sleep gummies.
And mine are the cherry lime gummies. With a wide range of strengths and doses, Diet Smoke promises to find the perfect product for you.
Whether you want something strong to unwind, a boost of energy to keep you going, or a lighter option for a mellow high, Diet Smoke has you covered.
They understand everyone is different, which is why they're dedicated to helping you find the perfect product. Their customer service team will be by your side helping you along the way.
Diet Smoke has cannabis gummies, shots, and vapes, each one made to deliver the best balance of flavor and effect.
So don't settle for less and join the Diet Smoke community and discover the buzz for you. Visit dietsmoke.com today and use code DFWTO for 50% off any item and enjoy your journey to cannabis bliss.
Diet Smoke, your partner in finding the perfect THC and mushroom products. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Hey guys, it's Casper
and Becky
from the DFWTO podcast. If you've been a longtime listener, you know how much mental health means to us.
Mental health actually plays a role in many horror films, especially the final girl subgenre. Whether it's Nancy facing her nightmares and defeating Freddy, or Sydney taking out Ghostface to overcome the trauma of and avenge her mother's death. Not only are horror movies a huge comfort to Casper and I, so is putting our mental health first. And if you agree and you're searching for professional services, let BetterHelp be your guide.
BetterHelp will connect you with a licensed therapist who can help you start your journey of self-awareness and discovery. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be flexible and convenient for any type of schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get yourself matched up with a licensed therapist, and you can also switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Just like the final girls that triumph over evil, triumph over your trauma with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/DFWTO and save 10% off your first month when you sign up today. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DFWTO.
And remember, guys,
Don't
don't fuck
fuck
with
with
the
the
original.
original. Now let's get into the episode.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of the DFWTO podcast. I'm your host, Casper.
I am your other host, Becky Gremlin.
Here to bring you all things spooky on Wednesdays because.
Wednesdays are for podcasts.
All right, guys. Well, we have a very special episode tonight. You know that me and Becky are very big found footage fans. We have been very big found footage movie fans forever, pretty much.
And cryptid fans. So
And
this is a double bonus. We
this
get
was a double
cryptids.
whammy.
We get cryptids and found footage.
So Becky decided one day to she actually saw something on her Instagram. We actually live pretty close to Loveland. And if you guys know anything about Loveland, Ohio, that is pretty much the main staple of where Frogman has been seen and from. And I can't believe we've never done a Frogman episode before. But that will be coming next week. But yeah, so she found on Instagram that there was a Frogman movie
Yeah.
that was going to be played at the Frogman
And I
Festival.
messaged you and you were like, "What?" And I was like, "Yeah, we're doing it."
I was like, "Found footage Frogman, fuck him in." So we got to the convention and we got to see the movie, and it was such a wonderful film. And it was really cool because it was kind of set up like how Horror Hound does their film fest. So the director was there, one of the actresses was there, the special effects people were there, and the director has been so kind enough to come on our podcast tonight, and we are very, very excited to have him. His name is Anthony, and he's the director of the Frogman film, and he did a great job. So thank you so much for coming on here with us tonight, Anthony.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
We absolutely loved the film. Totally walked in with no expectations, and I love walking into movies like that. Like, just I'd seen the trailer that was released before.
The trailer is literally why we bought tickets.
Absolutely loved the trailer. So yeah, sold. Especially being, and then of course being from this area and being familiar with the legend of Frogman. I think the one time that we did talk about it on our podcast, I had brought up the fact that the way I had actually found out about it was a show that still streams on Discovery Plus called Mysteries at the Museum by Don Wildman. And he brought it up, and I had not heard of it. And then a few years later, in 2016, our local news picked it up because I guess there were more frogman sightings. So it was interesting to know that, like, oh, that's cool. It's kind of a neat thing. And then to kind of go into history about it around the area, like, to have a cryptid so close to our neck of the woods is kind of cool. But I know you went, we got to ask you this when we were there, or I think somebody in the audience when they did the Q&A got to ask when you were there, which I thought this was great. But if you could let our audience know, where did you come up with the idea to pick Frogman of all cryptids to do a movie about?
I kind of feel like Frogman chose us,
Nice.
because,
Good answer.
yeah, we were making a short film that my co-writer John Karska was directing, and it was kind of coast to coast inspired, if you know that radio show. So we were
Yes.
shooting in a radio station, and there was a map on the wall of like the United States of cryptids, like a cryptid in each state, and I was familiar with the majority of them, and there's a couple, interesting like new discoveries in there, but the Loveland Frogman in the middle represented Ohio was definitely the one that caught all of our eyes because I mean it was a like a little bipedal frog holding a wand, and I think a wand is what really makes him stick out. I mean the name is great, the Frogman is just like such an iconic name, but the fact that he had a wand, no other cryptids on that map had any like accessories. It's like, what is going on here? And so we started researching it while we were on set, like in between takes, and we're just fascinated. And that was in Minnesota, which is also where we shot. So I gotta say, I was like, I did my research before we started writing, and like, I was like, is there any sort of like Frogman Society in Loveland or in Ohio we should get in touch with? Or like, I could not find any like solid fandom for Frogman, which, was kind of sad, but also like, we were like, well, still really like to see this movie. Let's make it. It kind of made us feel like we didn't have anything to stick to, like too true to like satisfy anybody. But then the Frogman Festival popped up after the fact, like after we had already shot the movie, and it was like a huge hit, and it was like, oh my God, there are people that care. So that was like, yeah, I don't know, it's been kind of a wild ride to make this movie and not really know if anyone was gonna like care or not. Like all of a sudden Frogman's blowing up, which is, it's like so heartwarming and awesome to see.
Is there something that caused you to go for the found footage type of filming for the film? Or did you just think that was like the best fit for it?
I think, I mean, cryptids and found footage are just like a really good pairing, I think.
Yeah, I
I
agree.
mean, so much
Absolutely.
of like the footage you see of supposed cryptids and photos just like feel the way found footage movies are supposed to feel. And so it is kind of like a subgenre of found footage almost, but it's like technically like we don't know, what's a hoax, what's real, whatever, what's like just a missighting. So that was pretty natural, and I love found footage, and I've always wanted to make a found footage movie, and this just kind of like we came to it really, really quickly. I don't think we ever even considered like shooting it any other way when we came out with the story of like, a couple of friends going out to find the Frogman. It was like, well, they have a camera in their hand, like that's what you would do if you went to go find the Frogman. You would have a camera with you and try to capture the proof, right?
Oh yeah, of course.
Absolutely. Anybody like me and Becky have always said you can make a great found footage movie if you have a legit reason to have the
Just have to
camera.
have a reason the camera's
That's
there.
it.
Exactly.
So I'll admit that I know we kind of dogged Frogman out a little bit. We got to humble ourselves. When we first found out about it, we were kind of like, huh, really? A frog? Frogman? What? Like when we first found out about it,
straight up,
we
I had
were
no
kind of
interest.
we dog Frogman out a little bit. You know, because I think around here, like it was one of those things when the sightings first start. There were very few sightings for people that like know the history around here. I think people just kind of chalked it up as also there is a thing in Ohio where there's a lot of these people sell. We have a lot of flea markets around here, and there's like a big thing with people that buy lizards and things at these flea markets, and they get them from Florida and they drive up to Ohio. So there's like this big market in Ohio for people buying lizards.
Literally, there's reptile conventions. So
yeah, there's a lot of them. I mean, even to the point, because I know there was a case close to here some years ago where a guy had so many, I think, that they had to like put laws into place. I have no idea. I would not own lizards in my own house. Not that many. My husband would love to, but
I love lizards. I'd have like 17.
But I wouldn't like, no. They're a lot to take care of, and they're a little stinky. But in 2016, I think it's when it started to gain more traction, because the latest sighting happened when some kids were doing Pokemon Go. And
are they sure it wasn't a Pokemon? No, I'm just kidding.
That's why I was like, was it a Poliwag Pokemon? Like, you know? So I think that's when it kind of started to gain more traction with people in the area and people that were remembering, like, oh yeah, Frogman, like, cool. And I always said to myself that even though to some people it may sound lame, that could be an amazing concept for a found footage film. Like, if you could genuinely come up with the right concept, the right creature, the whole thing, it could work. And it was like, you took that idea, plucked it out of my head, and made it come to fruition. Because I'll tell you right now, in that film, as much as there are parts which I really appreciated, because it did, and I know we were just talking about this before we started recording, especially with it being the 25th anniversary of the Blair Witch Project, there were a lot of scenes to break up tension in that film. And I think just in general, in a lot of found footage films, there's a lot of humor in between. And I think that it definitely was great the way you did it in this film, that Dallas was he's like kind of made fun of for it. And nobody believes him. And he's sort of, people sort of look at him as like, oh, you still live with your sister. Like, you're kind of this loser sort of guy. And, but when you actually see it on camera, and I will say this, that is, I would put up anybody, I don't care how big and bad you think you are. If you saw that in the middle of the woods, in the middle of, that is terrifying. If you saw a giant frog with a wand, I would be absolutely terrified. I would be absolutely horrified. And you made that come to fruition. I think all the people, we humbled ourselves now. Anybody that was saying Frogman was lame, watch this movie and see how you would feel if you saw that in the middle of the woods at night. it's terrifying. So getting back into like found footage, and are there any movies? I know this was something else you mentioned too. Were there any movies that inspired this film, or just inspired you in general, or found footage films that you yourself really enjoy?
Yeah, for sure. I think, I mean, the number one inspiration was Willow Creek, for sure. Bobcat Goldthwait's movie about a couple looking for Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
And I love what he does in that movie. Like, it is so just like, slice of life, like not a whole lot happens. It's just these two, you know, going to you know, the Willow Creek area and like exploring and like, you know, checking out all the Sasquatch stuff, and then there's this incredible scene when they're in the woods, but you never really see anything. And I think that totally works for that movie, because we all know what Bigfoot looks like. Like, there's not a person on Earth that hasn't heard of Bigfoot or Sasquatch or the Missing Link, you know? So, like, and we've all seen a million renditions of them. So you can, like, play, you know, like, you can play it, like, off screen. But, I mean, there's so many people that, like through this movie are finding out that Frogman is an actual legend. And there's a ton of people seeing this movie and like not even coming to the realization that, that it's based in a reality. So like all that to say, like a Frogman is not something we've all seen before. So I felt like there's no way we make a Frogman movie and don't show you the Frogman. Like we gotta see it. Plus I want to see it. Come on. So that was a huge inspiration. And then to that point, Adam Green's Digging Up the Marrow was another good reference point for us, because that movie does a really fun job of showing creatures in the found footage format. So that's something that we looked at too, but like that too, over and over and over. Like every time I started to like question what we were doing, or like, God, is this like, is this going to be interesting? Or like, you know, I don't know. Just like when I needed to ground myself in like what I think found footage should be, or like when it works best, like I would just watch Blair Witch again. So that's kind of the ultimate reference point.
I agree.
Me and Becky are big fans of Digging Up the Marrow. That movie was such a hidden gem that we randomly stumbled upon, and it was.
And I knew of Adam Green. I think you, Casper, sort of turned. I found out about more through you through Hatchet, because you were more of a fan.
I liked Hatchet too. I think Daniel Harris is in it.
Yeah, and I, you know, I'm like, oh, okay, I know this. Digging Up the Marrow was one of my. My husband in particular really likes anything with a monster or a creature or anything in it. So that movie was really great for both of us to watch, because he absolutely fell in love with it. I absolutely fell in love with it. And then getting to meet Adam Green right after and tell him that was sort of surreal. That is definitely one of those movies I just had to tell him, like, man, I put that movie on such a pedestal, especially with found footage and the creature effects and just the mm-hmm. whole concept of, you know, as a little kid, you're terrified of monsters. There's a monster under your bed. There's a monster in your closet. But that the possibility that those monsters are real and they're out there somewhere. And it's also got one of my most terrifying tropes in horror too, where somebody breaks into your house and they have a camera on you and you're asleep and you don't know.
Oh,
No, thank you.
That movie is so good.
That is single-handedly one of my like biggest fears. And I have seen that in so many horror, that trope in horror films. And it just,
especially
found footage. It's probably the one thing I think that still, because it takes, I think if you become such a horror fan, it takes a lot to really scare you. And that really terrifies me because it's so vulnerable.
It's such a hard thing to capture too.
Yes.
Like there's so many times like in like waking life where I hear a noise or like the thought enters my head of like, oh, what if like someone's in the house right now? You know, like what if someone shows up behind me? But it never hits. It rarely ever hits that way, like when you're watching a movie. And I think he, like the way he did it with the camera, like that really is an interesting, like way to get that feeling across, you know?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, definitely.
I wanted to tell you too, your effects in this film were absolutely top notch.
I
was so wowed by how good the effects were in this movie. So really good job on that, on how the Frogman looked, on the whole tongue situation, which was bleh, but
yeah, the tongue thing,
I was like, no.
And the birth scene, not to give a lot away, but
the birth scene very much gave me Seed of Chucky, and I was very into that.
See, and I'm older than you, so I wasn't thinking Seed of Chucky. I was thinking The Fly. I was immediately Gina Davis and The Fly.
Oh, yeah.
I'm almost 10 years older than Casper. She is. So yeah, I'm almost 10 years older than Casper. So that's why my brain immediately, I was like, The Fly.
I saw
the larva. I saw the, like, So I don't know if that was an inspiration to you, because I mean, that immediately, any 80s kid, like that image immediately flashed in my head of Geena Davis and that larva coming out.
Well, the funny thing is, like, The Fly is, like, hands down my favorite movie ever. And I've watched it a million times. Like, I could probably just, like, remake it shot for shot.
See, I don't, now how did I figure that
But the thing is, I don't think I've ever intentionally tried to reference The Fly, because I feel like there's a few movies, and that's one of them, where I'm like, it's such a part of me that, like, it's probably like leaking into everything I create, even if I don't mean for it to. So I think that's what that, because I don't think actually with all the stuff we talk about when we start talking about effects, I don't know if The Fly ever came up, but I mean, that movie is just in my brain 24/7, so I'll still give it credit.
So, a lot of times, what we like to do whenever we have a new director on to interview, we like to ask you what your favorite scary movie is. So, is that, would The Fly be your answer for that?
I mean, The Fly's my answer for everything.
I love it. That's amazing.
But
As
there's
someone who
no,
is a big Cronenberg fan, I really appreciate that.
yeah, I mean, that movie is just like absolutely, like, it has everything. It's like operatic, it's beautiful, like the story, the relationships, the horror, being body horror is just like, ugh. Like, I mean, like every time I cry at the end of it. But like seeing what he
Yes.
turns into, and then thinking of like where he began, and I can like feel for this guy and relate to him so much, and then just see how he's like destroyed himself, and he's like puts a shotgun to his own head because he's become such a monster. I'm like, oh my God, like nothing will ever affect me the way that affects me.
I agree. Yeah, that is definitely one of those movies that I think that if you watch it surface level, people will not understand. Because there's a real love story element too, almost Phantom of the Opera-ish in a way. And yeah, I do. I cry. I cry every time I see it at the end. And I think just if you've ever been in love, and to love someone like that, and to love someone so much and see them go through something like that, and the helplessness, the yeah, it is at its heart, it's a love story. It's everything. It's everything. That is really an incredible. I have a few favorites of mine when it comes to Cronenberg. I haven't seen any yet. Haven't seen his more recent films, but at the heart, I think The Fly is my favorite. I love Dead Ringers too, but The Fly,
Oh yeah.
yeah. I actually just watched Dead Ringers the other day. My husband's like, "What are you watching?" I was like, "You've never seen."
I can understand
Yeah,
if he's never seen.
that is one of those films. If you walk in on somebody
Yeah.
watching it, you're like, "Oh my God."
Most Cronenberg stuff is gonna be like, is this some sort of weird like kink I've never
Like, what
heard
kind of porno are you watching right
of? Yeah. Have you watched the Amazon series? I've been really curious to check that out.
I have not yet, and I need to because I love that it's women as the twins. And I see the actress, and I can't think of her name off the top of my head, but I loved that. Normally, I never know how to feel about that concept when they do that in films, but like this just seemed to work. Like if it works, I was like, oh wow, that yeah, I'll have to check it out because I have not I haven't watched it yet. I'm usually the one that's so far behind,
Fucking same.
especially with horror, because there's just
There's so
not that I
much.
don't appreciate it as a fan, but there is so much. There's so
Yeah.
so you
You'll
just
never catch up. I've given up.
oh yeah.
Just the watch list just keeps growing and growing, and I've become okay with that.
Same. I agree
I
for
mean, the good
sure.
news is we'll never run out of anything to watch.
Exactly.
Right? Even
One.
old stuff. I can't believe how much old stuff like comes to my attention, and I'm like, how? I was just like exploring Chicago yesterday. I'm here for a shoot, and I go into this store, and they have like a bunch of VHS, and I find one called Frankenstein and Me, starring Burt Reynolds as like a dad, family. It looks like a made-for-TV movie or something. But there's, like, it looks like a made-for-TV, low-budget monster plot starring Burt Reynolds. I'm like, what the hell? Like, how have I not, in all my years, heard anyone mention this once? I even, like, made a short about Burt Reynolds, and, like, I was getting sent Burt Reynolds shit all the time, and nobody brought this to my attention. Like, it will never cease to amaze me how many, like, hidden gems there are out there, like, from the 80s and 90s.
Oh my God, I've literally never even heard of this. This is
Yeah, I've never
crazy.
Heard of that either.
Especially a lot of, I think too, there were so many made-for-TV movies back in the early 90s. There were a lot of them. ABC would air, oh my gosh, there were so many made-for-TV. I think a lot of people forget too that like it was a made-for-TV
until movie. You watch it and then you're like, oh yeah, this was definitely a TV movie.
Yeah, because you're so restricted.
Wow, right. And yeah, when it breaks, when it's the commercial breaks,
yeah, you're like,
tell.
Oh, commercial.
Yeah.
You can definitely tell.
Like, oh, commercial. We remember these days. We remember.
Listen, that's why I still like ads on my streaming services. I gotta pee. It just, I can pause it, but I would rather not.
I'm still of that age that I don't mind ads because I remember commercials.
Right.
So,
I'm like, I gotta pee. I got 30 seconds. I gotta go.
I gotta go grab a drink, grab a snack, go to the bathroom. Like,
the way
we all
do ads on streaming services now. Like, I miss commercials because, like, you could watch, you know, a whole show or movie and only see the same commercial like a handful of times. And now it's like every single freaking commercial break when I'm watching a movie on Hulu or whatever, it's the same three commercials every time.
It is.
It is.
You're turning me off of, like, if I was even like sold on this thing, like, I don't want it anymore.
There's one particular one. I think it's a car one. I know this is totally off topic, but I'm starting to hate Thunderstruck by AC/DC now.
Oh, I
so
know exactly
anybody,
what commercial
So if anybody
you're
within
about.
The sound of my voice knows what commercial I'm talking
yep.
about, because I love AC/DC so much, but
same.
I am really starting to hate that song.
Oh my God.
It's like, this is why you don't license out your songs to commercial.
I'm over here like, how do you only have...
Or sometimes they can't help it.
How do you only have like two commercials? And then, like, a week later, you have two different commercials now. What is the, why? Why are you doing?
Take it back old school if we're going to have these ad breaks, guys.
It's like the radio.
Exactly.
Let's take it back old school. I know, and you still listen to the radio, and I've had XM Satellite for
There's
a thousand
so many songs
years.
I hate now because
so
of the radio.
I can cut out at least when I listen to the radio.
There's certain songs they would play, like, five times in 1 hour, and I'm like, they're why are you doing
this? Yeah, now that I don't miss. Because I haven't listened to regular radio in 1,000 years.
Oh,
I've
started
turning
on
my
Bluetooth now.
I don't have any idea.
And everybody sounds the same.
I'm like, yay, satellite radio. So, Anthony, I'm so sorry. We have a tendency to do this. We both have ADHD. So, apologize. Right now, currently, as we're going to be releasing this in a couple weeks, so when everybody's listening at the time, this is going to be the beginning of April. Currently, how is the streaming process with Frogman? How has it been distributing it? I know as of right now, it's currently streaming on Vudu and Apple TV. So how has that process been with getting it distributed?
I mean, I'm learning as I go. My producing partners, Rotting Press, like, they know what they're doing, thankfully.
Nice.
So they're kind of handling it for the most part, and I'm just kind of like throwing in my 2 cents here and there of like what I think would be cool. But it seems to be going really well. A lot of people are watching it. I guess I don't. I have always wondered how any movie makes any money. It, like, mathematically does not make sense to me. And so I'm still waiting to hear the report back on, you know, if we've actually done as well as it seems like we're doing or not. But it seems like it. I mean, there's a lot of people talking about it, and there's been a lot of, like, organic excitement around it, which is like so cool to see. Like, there's people sending me, you know, TikTok views every day and, you know, random tweets, and I'm like, oh my God, that's awesome. Like, it's like random people are watching it. So yeah, it's been a really cool experience, and we self-distributed also, which has been a fun learning curve to like see like how you go about it when you got to be with it the entire like journey of the movie, and you don't just like sell the movie and then your hands are clean of it, you know.
Yeah, that's really awesome. And I've you know, talking with other directors, we've heard the same thing, because you still have a lot of that hands-on process with your film.
So yeah. I showed one of my best friends and her husband. I got them, because I told them that we went to see it, and they are part of a found footage Reddit group, so they actually already knew about it, but they didn't go. So he's like, I want to rent this on Vudu, and I want to watch it. And I was like, okay. So we were watching it, and after it was over, now mind you, my best friend is a huge horror fan. Her husband is not. He likes horror, but he's indifferent to it. After this movie, he asked me to ask or tell you this. His name is Kyle. Shout out to Kyle.
Shout out to Kyle.
He goes, I need you to tell him, first of all, that it was one of the best found footage movies I've ever seen. And second,
I think
of
it's
all,
probably one of five found footage films I've ever seen. No, God love him.
But then he goes, second of all, I need you to tell him, if he does not care, to do a Stephen King and create a whole cryptid found footage movie universe. He's like, if he ever
I'm right
made,
on top of that, Rose.
Right? He's like, if he ever made another found footage movie, I'm all over it. He goes, I love it. And he's the one that I messaged you about with the VHS. He really wants a VHS of it, and he thinks the poster is like the coolest design.
The poster
ever.
Is incredible. Like, I can't wait to have that as a print, because the art for the I know that was not only in the trailer, but like the art poster for this film is insane. It's so good, so good.
But yeah, he asked me to tell you that. So he just wanted you to be aware. He was very appreciative. He loved the movie so much.
That's amazing. That's so cool. I loved how many, like so many reviews have started with, listen, I hate found footage. Or like
people that are either, they either hate it or they're newbies to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm like, wow, that's awesome. You know, like the crazy thing about that to me is like, I made this movie, making the found footage movie I would want to see, because thankfully, like, there's been a lot in the last couple of years that have kind of, like, won me over again, but I feel like found footage, like, lost its way for a little bit, and, I mean, like, I wanted it to look like High Eight and just feel, you know, like, really conversational and just, like, feel like you're on this journey with these people, and, like, maybe we didn't know what the hell we were doing and we didn't rehearse, and... like, I really wanted to capture that, and thinking this is only for found footage fans, because anyone that does like found footage is going to hate this. So that's been, like, so nice to hear. And yes, we do plan on doing more cryptids and a Frogman, too. It's just, like, figuring out where the hell to start, because there's just so many directions we could go in now.
Oh, he was so excited when he said, when it said Frogman will be back, he's like, oh, he's making another one. I'm like, I'm assuming.
Like, we don't know. We don't have any, nobody has any
Kyle. Details, it's okay. Right? I'll let you know.
There was no plan to make another one when we did that. I just did that because I was like feeling so annoyed by seeing that at the end of every freaking Marvel movie. I was like, why don't we just do it too? You don't even have to. It doesn't have to mean anything. You don't even have to deliver on it. So
yes, I agree. Yeah,
but now it's becoming real, which is awesome.
It is awesome.
That's very awesome.
And you're right too. When I think about my husband's kind of the same with films, and I think he's just a little indifferent with movies. I told you, but mostly creature features and monster films are his go to. But I think what this movie did is, you're right, it did something to pull people in for people that don't typically like found footage. And I think, if I can just provide my two cents with found footage kind of dropping off in certain films, I think what they started losing is, in my opinion, the character quality, because there were a lot of found footage I was coming across where I literally hated every character.
Unfriended. Like,
oh, unfriended. Listen, they all died. I could go on. I could hurt a lot of directors and a lot of writers' feelings right now.
But I think that was the point for that movie. So
well, Unfriended was supposed to be,
you know, she was bullied.
You're supposed to hate these people. Mm-hmm. I get it. But there were a lot specifically found footage where it was like, they were college students or they're high school kids or whatever. I don't know if the, I really couldn't understand this premise of making these characters so incredibly obnoxious and annoying through the first 45 minutes to an hour of the, it's like, do you want the audience to hate them so much that you want them to get killed in the end? Because if that's your goal,
you're doing a great
job. You're doing a plus bang up job, because I want to see every single person suffer at the end of this film, because they've made me suffer, because I hate these people. I started seeing a lot of that, and I could not understand this trope of making these characters so unlikable. We're watching Frogman, and my husband loved, first of all, everybody loves Scotty. We all love Scotty.
But did he know?
Scotty, we don't know if Scotty knew.
Did
we knew.
Scotty know?
We
I don't
knew.
Think Scotty knew.
But Scotty we all doesn't know. But we love Scotty. If I can just say out of everybody, Scotty just seemed to be, and I don't know if you're getting that from like from people that have seen it, as far as like the I loved all of the characters. I loved everybody. You were really pulling for it. I mean, I wanted to see that again. I wanted to see where I was like, I like these people and I don't want to see anything happen to them. And I was really pulling for everybody in this movie. My husband and I both, we just fell in love with every character in this movie. And Scotty was really, we loved Scotty.
MVP.
So that's all me and my husband kept talking about, how much we loved Scotty.
Scotty's awesome. I knew that some people might think Amy's annoying. Some people might think Dallas is an asshole. I didn't think anyone was going to have anything negative to say about Scotty, and they haven't. But
good.
For the most part, there's been a lot of feedback. Just like, yeah, I actually cared about these characters. They were actually really likable. And that means so much to hear, because I totally agree. I saw that trend also, and I have no idea why. I mean, there's a lot of movies even outside of found footage, like horror genre, like, where you just have asshole characters, you know, slashers have that too, but usually they're like lovable assholes. But found footage characters like just became awful. Like there's like the, like no redeeming qualities, and it's just obnoxious. And that was something we really wanted to focus on. Was like, I don't understand why you would ever make a movie about people you don't care about.
Thank
you. You know, so like, yeah, we really wanted you to like give a shit about these three before we start putting them through the ringer.
And that makes so much sense too, because now that you're saying that, I'm thinking about all of my favorite found footage movies, and I'm like, every single one, I loved the characters.
Yeah.
I cared about the characters.
You did
Blair Witch was such a big one. I'm like, you actually want them to make it. Like,
especially
you want them
little...
to get out of the woods and find their way back. Grave Encounters, you actually give a shit about them getting out. Taking of Deborah Logan. This woman, does she have Alzheimer's? Is she possessed? What's happening? Like, you care about the people.
Yeah,
and that
film hit me hard. Because
Hell House LLC. You care about those people. Like,
they
really give you a connection to the characters, just like this one did. And I feel like that's why, because I even said it, like, someone asked me, what's the best found footage you've seen in a long time? And I was like, to be honest with you, besides, like, the prequel to Hell House and, like, pretty much like sequels and stuff, I was like, Frogman, because I gave a shit about the characters, and it made it more enjoyable instead of suffering for an hour of nothing.
It was everything that we wanted to see. Like, the story was there, the concept was there, the acting was there, the characters were there.
The acting was amazing. Were they, like, had they acted in other things before? Because their acting was, like, really, really, really good.
Yeah, I've worked with Nate and Chelsea a lot. They're professional actors, and Benny's a professional actor too, that plays Scotty, although I had never worked before like that, because he also crews on movies. So like I generally like grip on like features and like commercials and stuff as like my day job when I'm not directing my own stuff. And Benny works in production. So that's how I got to know Scotty.
Nice.
And he also was like, I want to act. And I was like, I saw him just like go buck wild at a rap party one time, like get on a table and like break dance to not break dance, but like kind of do this like sexy burlesque dance to Hit Me Baby One More Time. And I was like, oh my God, like you are so fucking entertaining. And so like we wrote Scotty for him.
Yes!
And
amazing.
That's why he gets on the table at that party scene was because I saw that one time. And that's what I knew. I was like, I got to put this guy in a movie.
You said, sir, I'm going to need you to do that again. So, I know that you've worked on a couple things in Scare Package. Like, you've worked on short horror films and things like that. What got you into, I know we're like 40 minutes into the interview, but what got you into, like, doing directing and...
Your own feature.
Yeah, your like, and what made you really want to go for the horror genre?
I don't know if I would... I mean, horror's just it for me.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, there's so much you can do within horror. You can do horror comedy. You can do body horror, slasher, like, creatures, sci-fi, all of it. So, I mean, if you want to put me in the horror box, like, that's fine by me. I'm sure there's bigger ideas in my head and, like, non-horror stuff. But, like, yeah, we'll see. I mean, I'm totally cool living in this world forever. What got me into it? So I went to school for cinematography, and like that's how I got into like, you know, being an assistant camera operator, key gripping on other people's sets. And I was really just focusing on like being a cinematographer because that's kind of what I was good at. And I really wanted to shoot an adaptation of this story I read, which if you guys like Cronenberg, you gotta check out this story When Sorcerer Stirs. It's insane. It's just like a 7-page short, and it blew my fucking mind. Like, I read it like 3 times in a row when I first read it, and I reached out to the author, and he was cool with me adapting it. And I actually wanted somebody else to direct it, and nobody wanted to direct it of like my directing trends. They're like, you don't get it. And so I was like, well, shit, I guess I'll direct it then because I want this to exist. And really, I just wanted to shoot it. And it did really well, and it turned out pretty good, and I had an absolute blast making it. So I just kept making stuff after that. After that was Squirt Reynolds, and that led to Scare Package, and here we are now.
What was the name of the 7-page short that you said?
It's When Sorcerer Stirs, by Jeremy Robert Johnson.
And where could we find that?
It's in, I wonder if you can find it on its own online. It's definitely in a collection of short stories by him. They're all great. Called Entropy in Bloom, which you can, you know, buy off Amazon or, you know, I see it in bookstores all the time, actually. You can probably find it all over the place.
I love me a good horror short.
Yeah.
So.
And then, the adaptation of that we did is on YouTube, if you look that up. If you look up me or When Sorcerer Stirs, it should pop up.
Cool. Okay. Awesome.
Awesome.
More content. Yeah. Add to my watch list. And then my watch list.
What I specifically had a question about releasing this VHS. I think it's really cool, especially with my age range, seeing VHS kind of make a resurgence.
Oh, yeah.
Was that part of your reasoning for wanting to do it? Just knowing that it would turn more into like the resurgence of it and kind of the collectability of it?
I mean, it was just like, it was really good timing because a lot of thoughts went through my head of like how to try and do something even remotely like what Blair Witch did when they released.
Yeah.
You know, I thought about having, you know, Dallas and Amy have like, you know, fake social media accounts and like them just like posting a bunch at in character. And I thought of like all sorts of weird stuff. And like, of course, you know, just like putting the movie on VHS and like planting it around for people to find is like such a fun idea.
Yes.
But it felt like that's already been done and it doesn't, you know, this movie isn't like, I don't think anyone would like think they're watching anything real if they found this movie on a brand of VHS. But there was this amazing resurgence in VHS, which is so cool and I love to see. And, you know, a lot of like older stuff being re-released and a lot of new stuff being put on VHS. And I don't know, the thought just occurred to me, like, the fact that we even shot on Hi-8, like this movie should be watched on VHS, honestly. It's the best way to watch it. So when we decided to self-distribute, that was something I brought up that I thought would be really cool, is if even just for a limited time, that was the only way to see it. I thought that was super fun. Because there's like, I mean, there's people that will just buy any VHS.
Right.
And if it's the only way you can watch a movie, I was like, I mean, that would have got me. I would have bought it for sure. You know, if I saw a movie was released, like, that's the only way you can watch it.
Oh, I'm the same way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then just to have, just for that, and to have a physical copy of it too, mm-hmm. Like, you know, especially with the whole thing, like having physical media.
I can't wait for my DVD.
Yeah, that's amazing because, well, I know viral, it's kind of hard, like marketing a film is, and that can be the beauty with social media, because you can market it out there and kind of, you know, spread the word of mouth kind of thing. But just to go to, just to kind of touch on Blair Witch a little bit, because it is the 25th anniversary, and I was there that got to live through the viral marketing of this film. Like, the insanity of, if you didn't, I mean, I was 14 or 15 years old, 14, 15 roughly, when this movie came, when Blair Witch came out, and I believed it was real. I, for probably about a whole year, I bought it. Like, I totally, totally bought it. You know, this is like internet in its infancy, and the viral marketing was insane for this film. I mean, it was absolutely, and if you weren't there, that's why I don't, like, when people judge that movie, I'm like, I could get watching it now, picking it apart and all these things, especially if you're young, but the marketing alone for that film, if you weren't there, if you didn't get to experience that as it was happening, you have no idea what you're talking about, because it was insane. There were missing posters were at the Cannes Film Festival. Like, that's how they advertised the film. There were missing posters everywhere. They interviewed their family members in a documentary. I mean, like, I bought it. I wanted my parents to take me to Burkittsville for spring break so we could go look for them. I cannot wait to tell Eduardo Sanchez this. because I bought it. I'm a little 14-year-old kid from Ohio. I was like, I had never seen anything like this in my life. I had never experienced anything like that before. And really, deep in my heart, believing that it was real, that they were really missing, the Blair Witch legend was real, that the whole thing was real.
He had them live in like a fucking hotel for like a year, though, didn't he?
Yeah,
they couldn't do anything.
Yeah,
they had to pretend, like, literally, they had to stay hiding. They could not be
seen. Yeah,
fucking brilliant.
Yeah,
like, absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, the marketing alone for that film was absolutely insane. And I know I'm not the only one that didn't believe it.
And I am sad because I was 6 years old when that came out, and I did not have a fucking clue. Not a damn clue. But the moment I saw that movie for the first time was the moment I fell in love with found footage movies.
And I loved it. It was definitely I feel like that was everybody's first introduction, you know, and I know there's been arguments back and forth over the years on whether or not that was the first quote unquote found footage film, but I think it was the first commercially to really hit as big as it did, and I think it was many people's I'd probably say almost everybody's first introduction with found footage.
It was the Red Bull for found footage. It really gave found footage its wings.
It did. It became the stepping stone. It really did. And I think even how to market a found footage film too, to make it
because Paranormal Activity, yeah. I feel like really piggybacked. Because
you want to believe, like, you know, you're watching a movie, but it has to be believable enough that you have a connection with it.
And there has to be a reason you're holding the camera. The amount of found footage movies I've seen, I'm like, why are you holding the camera? Why are you still holding the camera?
Anthony, if I could also say, for your concept with the Hi-8, even how the movie started out, it really, like, I thought, you know, because I, my family, I, you know, it was like, I'm the oldest, little brother, mom and dad, family trips. We had our camera out, you know, my dad even had those tapes converted over. So, you know, got to go back and watch a few years ago, like our family trips and everything. And I mean, that, when I think anybody around that age, when you watch the beginning of the film, that hit a place like yep. so deep. That was such a nostalgia. Like, it really did. I mean, it really brought me back to me and my brother fighting in the backseat and my mom and dad, like, arguing because they took the wrong turn or whatever, you know, like.
I mean, that's, yeah, that's very based in reality.
Yes.
I mean, we shot Frogman on my family camera, the camera my dad would bring on family trips. Like over summer vacation, and I even shot the high ink tapes that we shot Frogman on were shot over my family vacation of like 99 and 2000.
Amazing.
Because I like that was always part of it, but I didn't plan on actually shooting on a high ink camera, because I just didn't think you could do that and release a movie that was shot that way these days, because streaming services have so many like weird requirements and everything, and it ended up being totally fine and a lot easier than I thought. But so I just happened to find that camera in a freaking closet like a week before we started shooting Frogman. I was like, oh my god, like this feels like fake. and those were the only tapes I had, were like three tapes that were just family movies.
That is so
I love that so much though. My dad would bring out that camera. He probably still has it somewhere. I'm sure he does.
Oh, my dad still has the camera. Still has the camera.
And there was even times I asked him, because we would like go back and watch them. I'm like, why are you filming this? And he's like, it was a memory. And I'm like, okay.
My dad, we would be in the kitchen, and my dad would just, when you have, we had the tapes converted.
My mom's
over.
Doing the dishes.
Yeah.
And he's got the camera on her. And I'm like, this is literally,
my mom was taking the garbage out. Like it's great. I mean, if anybody had a camera back then as a kid, it brought back I love that you said that. Cause that really took that. I'm sure not just for us, that was really nostalgic for so many people. I also wanted to say, for somebody that, you know, I don't live very far from Loveland. And a lot of the shots from the film looked very similar. Just to say that for anybody that watches it, that isn't from Ohio, that doesn't live in Ohio, that's never been to Loveland.
It looked a lot like Loveland.
Really did. So I don't know if you got any feedback from anybody that said that to you at the festival, but that even gave some believability to it, that it looked, the landscaping of the whole film looked very similar to Ohio.
Yeah, that was such a relief.
Oh, good.
I think I've been to like Cleveland. That's pretty much it for my Ohio experience. But like, I knew it was like roughly this, you know, kind of the same type of terrain as Minnesota. And I looked up pictures of Loveland. I tried to get an idea of like what it looked like. And yeah, we, you know, we had a small town outside of Minnapolis that I thought, you know, was just like really picturesque, and it has that little main street. And I thought, yeah, I mean, this'll do, because we definitely can't afford to go shoot in Loveland, unfortunately.
Right.
But then visiting Loveland a couple weeks ago for Frogman Festival, like all four or five of us that went, that worked on the movie, we're like, oh my god, I think we did a pretty good job.
Yeah. Like, I genuinely did thought it was filmed in Loveland.
Like, I love, I would love to shoot the sequel in Loveland, honestly, because Loveland is like, I was really inspired being there, just how there's not a single straight road in the entire town.
Nope,
like, it's crazy.
Yep.
Like every corner, I was like, this is where we see him. This is where he's going to pop out. Like, in all, like, because there's just woods and mm-hmm. like road barriers, like, everywhere. So, like, that was really unique. But yeah, we did hear from quite a few people, like, yeah, you did a pretty good job. Which was, yeah, a big relief, because I really wanted to visit before we started shooting. And I just couldn't, I couldn't afford to do that at the time.
Yeah, the very beginning did. It took me a minute to
To
actually
actually
look
real,
at it, but
yeah,
it
us
looked like
both.
you were in Cincinnati.
Because we
Like it
have,
really did, because
and
we
then,
have those bridges.
well, but also in Loveland in particular, well, that's the Ohio River though. In Loveland in
Right.
particular, there's the Miami River.
Yes.
So
And they do
where,
kind of look like
and
that
where
too.
the major, where the sightings of the actual, well, the sightings purported of
Allegedly.
Frogman, allegedly, of Frogman in Loveland were along the Great Miami River.
Yeah.
And so those particular shots, I, you know, and just being in so many wooded areas along that river
So
in
many.
Loveland, it was like you, I,
You
yeah.
nailed it for someone who hadn't been there.
Yeah. I mean, it really, and I think people that if you travel a lot just through the Midwest, there are so, I mean, almost every Midwest town looks exactly the same. You've got, you know, if you've got a wooded parks, you've got your main street, you've got your, so you can match it up well enough, I think, in pretty anywhere small town USA
Right.
along the Midwest. So
Especially Ohio.
especially Ohio.
If you've
Especially
seen one area,
Ohio.
you've seen
I would also, I know you've done a few other podcast interviews, and I don't know if anybody's mentioned, because I didn't catch this until watching the movie again at home, and kind of going through like other films you've worked on and your socials and whatnot, that there was this little cameo of every time we meet for ice cream, your whole fucking face explodes.
Yeah.
There was a little cameo of that. Was that meant to happen? Were you, did you mean to do that? Like to sort of as like a little Easter egg in there?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, that's kind of that's awesome that you found that, because yeah, not a whole lot of people do, and I wouldn't expect them to, because I think the majority of these people, like the people watching this movie, don't know about what else I've done. But for me personally, it was like, okay, and that was day one. That shot was on day one of Frogman,
Nice.
him finding the Hyatt camera, and it just felt like this kind of mushy little symbolic thing for me of like, okay, here we are, day one of like my first feature. Let's find the Hyatt camera that we're gonna shoot this entire movie on in a box. And then that entire box is just like props from everything I've done up until that point.
Amazing.
Well, and then there's two Paddington bears in there too, because I just fucking love Paddington. But everything else in there is a prop or a reference to my other shorts.
I love that, because I
I
saw, I remember seeing that when we first watched it at the festival, and then looking through like other stuff you worked on, and I was like, oh wait, that looks familiar. And then watching it again, I was like, oh, that's cool. And I'll have to go back and look for Paddington again, because
that.
I too love, who doesn't love Paddington Bear? I mean, come on. Like,
Monsters.
he's so cute.
True. Very
He's so
true.
cute and charming, and his little hat. Like, who doesn't love that guy?
Yeah, no, that's a huge red flag. If someone's got a beef with Paddington, stay away.
For sure. Like, if you don't have a genu- I need a genuine
Like, unless
explanation.
your bear got up and started murdering your family, then
Right. Like,
it's
I
just
need,
not.
yeah. Like,
No.
something about
Yeah, just
Paddington
bear trauma in
traumatized you.
general.
If the bear is traumatizing, then sure. But if it's not, then no.
Yes, if you have bear trauma, you get a pass.
Bear trauma.
Yeah, exactly. So I right. Otherwise, you're I couldn't agree more. Huge red flag if you don't like Paddington. I'm trying to, did you have another
No, I'm trying to
question?
think if I have any other questions. I think right now I'll think of them as soon as we are done.
Well, and I know too, we're not, we still want, this is, these are always our things with interviews, because we don't want to give away too much of the film, because of course we want, you know, you want people to watch it and go see it. I think one question I had particularly about the ending of the film, was that always a part of it to sort of, because I think that kind of tricked people in the festival where we started clapping and we didn't
Oh my
realize.
God, that was
It
great.
messed my husband up too when we were watching, because he's like, is this the end? And I'm like, no, it's not the end. It was sort of this like, and I like that with when they you sort of get this fake out Like, was that planned to have it end like as Dallas's movie with it going to festivals now? And like, was it, did you sort of mean for it to end that way?
Yeah, that was I mean the ending went through a lot of different variations before we got to the one we have, but what we always knew, I think before we even started writing the script, I had this idea that our movie would end and then you would pull out and you're in like a movie theater at the premiere of the movie and you're seeing like Alice's reaction to having gone through all of this. Because I mean I've seen a million found footage movies and like that's something I hadn't seen before. And I was like, I think that would be really fun. Because you know, most of them end with everyone dead and the camera getting dropped on the ground or like
Right.
whatever. And I was like, well, what if we ended one and he like, you know, he survives. Like we just watched the movie that he created, you know. Yeah, I thought that would be kind of fun. So
Yeah, because I think
I
I
love that too.
only
I've seen that
ended
in
in a
films.
way that I hadn't seen.
We had talked about it. I was like, found footage wise, the only one I could come up with off the cuff that they actually survived was As Above, So Below,
Yeah,
where the
where
actual main two
main
people
character
actually
survives. Yeah.
survive.
Because you're right, it's either everybody dies or there's like the lone person
But the camera
walking
gets
out with the
dropped.
camera.
But the cam or the camera gets dropped, and there you have no idea what's going on. They're just gone.
Yeah. And nothing against that, you know. I mean, that is like that there's a huge reason most of them end like that. I mean, it's called found footage, right?
Right.
But I just I thought it would be fun to try something different. And I mean, like I think a lot of what Adam Green did in Digging Up the Marrow was inspiring in that way too, where, you know, at the time, for whatever reason, he didn't want to call it a found footage movie. It totally is, but he tried a lot of different stuff. Like one of my prized possessions is I went to San Diego Comic-Con like a year or two before that movie came out, and him and Alex Party were there. You know, Alex Party is the artist who he interviews in the beginning of the movie, and then
Right.
he also created the monsters, or like the monsters were based off his
His
drawings.
drawings.
And so they were at San Diego Comic-Con promoting Digging Up the Marrow as a documentary about monster art or something like that. And so I have this poster that's just like a painting by Alex on a canvas in the middle of like a dark room. Like that's the poster for Digging Up the Marrow.
That's amazing.
I was like, that's so awesome. Like you're getting people interested, you're kind of like putting them on people's radar, but totally misleading them. And yeah, like the fact that he plays himself in the movie, like I don't know if that's ever been done before too, where like it's like someone that you definitely know playing themselves, like a celebrity. I thought that was really interesting. So yeah, we just, you know, Trump wanted to mix it up a little bit.
And I like that concept too, because
I really
I don't know
do.
if that's ever,
I don't, I'm like,
well,
out of the
New Night,
150.
Wes Craven's New Nightmare did it
Oh, right, yeah.
in the most incredible way. I mean,
Right.
that was so meta. I couldn't even, that was insane. I still, when I watch that movie, yeah, it was very surreal
I
the way
do
they did
love
that
found
movie.
footage movies that are made, basically they're called mockumentaries.
Yeah.
I
Right,
love
yeah.
those. I
And that was
absolutely
great that
love them.
he—that was great that initially with the movie being released, and again, I think that all goes back to what we were talking about with Blair Witch and marketing your film, that he decided to market it that way to sort of pull people in where they were like, "Wait, what?" Because even when you're watching it, you can almost watch it. I think there's, even if you're a full grown adult with all your faculties, there are parts of that movie where you're watching it and you're going, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Like you're having to tell yourself, monsters aren't real. This is not real. I'm watching a movie. Yeah, he did. So I sort of see why it was marketed that way, because you're totally right. It definitely is at the end of the day, it's a found footage film, but as you're watching it, you are sort of having to convince yourself, like,
This is not real.
This is not real. This is not real. Monsters are not real. Hopefully. And
I'm sure they are. They're good at hiding.
Right.
Or they're, you know, at the grocery store.
Yeah.
Just people.
They're in the marrow.
They are. And I don't want to know. I don't want to know where it is at all. Don't want to know. So Anthony, thank you so much for this. We really appreciate all your time. Anything else you wanted to promote? I know right now it's just kind of getting Frogman out there and talking more about it. Is there anything you're going to be working on in the future or just
upcoming projects you have?
Besides Frogman 2, besides the sequel at some point?
I mean, I hope so. I didn't perceive, like, I mean, Frogman's already been my life for, like, 4 years now. I didn't foresee it being my life for, like, more years after that. I thought I'd move on to another movie, but, like, I mean, I'm just happy and so fucking thankful to get to make anything. So, like, if Frogman 2 is the next one that's going to be made, like, hell yeah, let's go. We've got a really exciting idea that I'm super stoked to do. It's going to be, like, really different. I don't ever want to do the same thing once or twice. And, I mean, my favorite sequels are the ones that just go off the rails and
yes.
give you, you know, like, there's the carbon copy sequels, you know, the formulaic ones, and a lot of those work, and I enjoy them. But my favorites are the ones that just take big swings and just do something really weird. So, yeah, we're going to try that with Frogman. I've got a bunch of other stuff I'm trying to get made, that would be very different, some non-found footage stuff, and then I'm putting together a found footage anthology
yes.
with, some other found footage filmmakers that you have definitely heard of, because we thought, why don't we put together, like, an all-star team and put something cool out, so hopefully that'll be in the next year or two.
That was very orgasmic for my ears. Thank you.
We're very excited about that. We are both. We love anthologies.
And found footage.
Yeah. So we're both very excited about that for sure.
Yeah. I think it's going to be fun.
Real quick too. So in case everybody listening didn't know, when did you actually finish filming Frogman?
Oh, well, we shot pickups like last summer.
Oh yeah, okay.
I think we premiered in August of 2023, and we shot stuff. I think I even shot something after that, maybe. I think the post credit sequence was shot after August, or it was right before. So yeah, last summer we were still shooting shit.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Cause I know if a lot of people don't, that's the other reason why we love, not only to talk about the films, but the other reason why we like talking to a lot of actors and filmmakers and stuff like that is you sort of get the behind the scenes of how all the stuff is done. Like not just how it's shot, but, just everything that goes into it, how it's wrapped, how
yeah.
it's produced, how it's distributed, how it's, because I think to the lay person, they don't, you know, you would have no idea. I think you sort of lump every movie into the same, whether it's mm-hmm. an indie, independent, or a major production. It's all sort of lumped in the same.
Totally. And before I made movies, I was in that camp too. Where
yeah.
Like, you know, you'd hear, you know, like Avatar came out and, you know, the big story was like, oh, James Cameron's been working on this for 12 years. And it's like, what? How did you stay interested that long? Like, and why did it take so long? And then, like, here I am 4 years. I mean, we started writing Frogman in 2019. We started shooting in 2021. Here we are in 2024, finally getting it out. Way less ambitious than Avatar. That much time, you know? And then, you know, someone's just like, oh, this fucking sucks. You should quit your job. It's like, oh man, that was 4 years. But I mean, that I've been on the other end of that where you're just like, how does it take this long? It's like, it is a lot. It's a lot of moving parts, man. And, you know, a lot of starting and stopping too. Yeah, making a movie is a weird, weird journey.
And it's, you know what though, you, I think to your credit and the credit of a lot of filmmakers though, the timing when the movie is released to the audience and we get to see the finished product, it's like all that time needed to happen. It was meant to happen, and there was a reason for it to happen because now the fin this finished product is incredible. Like it's so like you get to see it come to fruition and you're like, all that time, this is what all that time, like this is why. Because I think you can tell too when a film is rushed. I know there's been a lot of films we've seen where especially I think the ending can make or break a movie too. I think if you see a movie's been rushed into and you can tell where at some point they didn't know how they were going to end it, and the ending, I really do. I really think an ending can make or break a film. And I think if you rush it and you don't know how you're going to end it, and then you just kind of come up with a whatever ending, people can feel like their time was wasted almost.
You mean the 8 years I wasted on Game of Thrones?
I'm sorry.
Well, and that's like that's so smart and so true. Like I've thought I've become to like firmly believe that, and I tell other film because you know like filmmaker friends will like almost get anxiety about like, oh, I need to make this thing or it's too late, or like, oh shit, you know, like this is hot again, or like this is an idea that someone else is going to come up with if I don't get this out. And it's like I don't know, I kind of do weirdly like believe in a little bit of like destiny when it comes to that shit. Like if you don't make it, then you just weren't meant to make it. Like,
Yep.
and if it takes like, I mean, look, I wish Frogman was done a long time ago, but like this timing, it timed out so perfectly with like kind of this weird resurgence of found footage with the Frogman Festival happening. Like it couldn't have timed out more perfectly. So like for me, it was like it took that long because it was meant to. You know.
I couldn't agree with you more. You're totally right. Destiny and fate and a lot, yeah, that have that when it all when the stars align and the planets align and it just happens, it's like lightning in a bottle. I've had too many instances in my own life where I'm a firm believer of that. And two, this gives me hope because I'm planning on doing my own short. I have no experience in filmmaking. I've never done anything before. I came up with a story. I wrote down a concept a year ago, and that's kind of where it's been. So it could take, I'm going to do it. I mean, I'm never going to give up on it, but if it takes 5 years to make it happen, then it takes five, if it takes 2 years to make it happen, it takes 2 years to make it happen. But I'm gonna do it because I want to. I want to, I have a passion to, and when I every time I talk to filmmakers like you, it just adds more fuel out there to do it. So
Yeah, and you'll do it when you're meant to do it. Like it'll happen organic. I mean, it's not to say like, you know, I'm not telling anybody that wants to make a movie like sit around and just wait for it to happen. Like you
right.
gotta bust your ass and you gotta get out there and you gotta take action. But like all of that stuff like will happen organically once you kind of put out there like to the universe, like I'm gonna do this thing. Like help
Yep.
me or don't, or you know, get out of my way. Or it'll shut you down. This is not time. Like you know, like I've had thoughts about, well, if I would have made it this, you know, like then instead of now, it like this would have been different. It would have been better if I would have done this, you know, made this decision. And it's like, you can't think that way about anything in life.
Nope.
Like, you did the best you could at the time, like with the knowledge and tools you had at your disposal. You know, like that's why it is what it is. That's why you shouldn't go back and add walkie-talkies to ET. You know, like. The movie is a product of its time. Like, move on. You know, accept that it is like what it is, I guess.
1,000%. Yeah. On that note, Anthony, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. And currently, Frogman is, again, we're going to be releasing this the beginning of April. And currently, Frogman is streaming on Vudu and Apple TV. Is there any place else that we miss that's streaming right now?
Vudu, yeah. Apple TV, Google, YouTube.
Awesome.
Yeah, you can rent it on all those platforms, and then Amazon coming soon. There's been like a weird technical like hang up on that, but it is coming to Amazon also.
Awesome. Sounds great. And the as far as physical copies go, where can people get? I know the VHSs are back for purchase. Awesome.
Yeah, you can get VHS tapes. I think it's like limited to 50 this time around. On Lunch Meet VHS. Personally, I think that's the best way to watch the movie. And then we'll have a really exciting announcement. If you catch me in person at like a screening or a convention, like I have a first run of Blu-rays. But we'll have an exciting announcement really soon about like an online opportunity to get Blu-rays too.
Awesome. Awesome.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Anthony. We really appreciate your time. You're
Everybody,
awesome.
watch Frogman if you haven't seen it yet. If you happen to get to one of the festivals that Anthony's at, please go and screen it and definitely support this film. We're so being from Cincinnati, we're so excited that this is getting so much traction
Yes.
yeah, and I hope it brings like more people need to come here and go looking for Frogman. Like, let's do it.
Seriously.
I am very Helen Hunt from
But
Twister. I want to see it.
be careful, ladies, because Frogman fucks. So that's all I'm gonna say. That's the only
Yes.
warning I'm gonna put out there is ladies, be careful. Frogman fucks. So
Really quick before we go, Anthony, would you like to plug your socials? I was like, I mean, you don't have to. That's okay.
I was gonna tell you my socials.
was
That
perfect.
was great.
I'm mostly active on Instagram, cousins_Anthony. So that's where I'll be posting about whatever I'm up to and updates on Frogman news. And then there's a Frogman Instagram too, Frogman movie, which is pretty much just like a copycat of everything I post. I run that one also. But yeah, follow both. Why not?
All right. Well, thank
Totally.
you so much. And we hope you enjoy the rest of your day.
You too,
It's been
Anthony.
very nice.
Thank you. We hope to do this again. You're a
Yeah.
friend. You're a friend to the show for life.
Anytime you ever want to promote anything, hit us up. We got you.
Heck yeah, I'm so down. Thank you both
No
so much. All right, and we'll be
problem.
looking for the Blair Witch poster. We got you.
Yes.
Hopefully next week we'll be like we've acquired the
Thank
goods.
you.
Yes.
Oh my God, you'll be my heroes.
Yay! Like I said, we're gonna be like, we want it. She sent me the picture and I said, I want that.
Yep,
I'm
same.
like, I will.
That's so cool.
I'm like, we are just gonna buy. I'm gonna be like, I want three of these. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll talk to you later. Thank you so much, Anthony.
Yep, you too.
All
Take
right,
care.
bye.
Take care. All right, guys, that was our Frogman movie interview with Anthony Cousins. We hope you guys enjoyed that. That was so much fun. I was so glad we got to meet him. The whole experience at the Frogman Festival with the film was so awesome. I think next year we're going to try to go to maybe one day of the Frogman Festival in its entirety and check it out. There was a whole bunch of vendors there talking about cryptids, so we're down for that
Is
anytime.
there? I'm sure there is, but I'm wondering if there's an actual just cryptid, straight up cryptid
I'm
convention
sure there
somewhere.
is.
And I'm sure there
I'm sure
is.
there is somewhere around this great land of the US of A.
Right. So next week we're actually going to
We're
be
actually going to be
talking
talking
about
about
Frogman.
Frogman. Yeah, we're going to give all of the history. We talked a little bit about it. We talked about the most recent sightings in 2016 when we really think people actually caught a Pokemon. But no, we're actually going to be talking about all the lore, all the history, how it got started. How it and now with this film, I think it's going to start putting Little Loveland on the map. So we're excited.
Which is
We're
cool. Everybody's
living
gonna
for
start
it.
coming to Lugman. That
Yeah.
was.
Did you just put Frogman and Loveland
I sure
together?
did.
Okay, awesome.
Lugman.
Awesome.
Everyone's gonna be coming to Loveland for
Frogman.
Frogman.
Got it.
That. All right, guys. Well, of course, you know we have all of the socials, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. all at DFWTO podcast. Handle is DFWTO 8811. I'm sorry. Is the Twitter handle. Yes. Twitter handle, DFWTO 8811. If you have any questions, concerns, want to say hey, or give us a idea for a podcast.
Podcast idea.
Please email us at dfwto8493@gmail.com. And then lastly, follow us on iTunes, Podbean, and Spotify. You'll always know when we put new episodes out, and give us a rating, give us a any kind of criticism you would like to, because we always like to improve. There's always room for improvement. And then,
and you know you've made it when you got haters. So
love it. That was not planned, but that was perfect. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much. We love you. Go watch Frogman on Vudu,
yes,
or Apple TV or YouTube.
Please support.
And yeah, thank you for your support as always. We love you. And remember,
don't fuck with the original.
My
ribbit.